This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, it's not time to freak out and look at the standings and, oh no, the Blue Jays and Rays are right there with the Yankees atop the American League East. Oh, Yankees are tied for first place for the first time since early April. Forget the standings. But there is an issue that the Yankees continue to have that really bothers me. And BT and I have talked about this many different times for many different years. The Yankees don't play the game the right way. And they think it's okay, and they get away with it a lot of times because of where they end up, meaning 90-plus wins in the postseason, always legitimately contending to win a World Series, even though they haven't gotten there outside of last year. We've gone over this a million different times. But last night, for example, and by the way, like losing 8-0 the way that it was going, could that have been worse than the way that it turned out? The Yankees coming all the way back, and Judge, it's that incredible home run, and then they blow the game anyway. Like, losing the game to the Blue Jays for the third straight day, it's not acceptable. So it doesn't matter how they lost, which one's more painful. It's the fact that they lost. But the sloppy play is what drives me up a wall. How, like, for years we talked about it with Gleyber Torres or IKF, guys playing out of position. And then this year we're talking about it with Jazz Chisholm. Like, why isn't Jazz Chisholm playing second base? I don't know. Only the Yankees can answer that. And whatever ridiculous excuse or analytics that they use, it's total garbage. And then last night, again it happens. And it happens with a guy who is a good offensive player, a good offensive young player, but doesn't have a position because of the way the Yankees are structured. Because Giancarlo Stanton can't play anywhere else, and you love Big J. Oh, it's great to have Giancarlo back. Look at the big home run he hits. So you have to have him. He can't catch, can't field, doesn't have a position, can't run, but he might run into one on occasion, especially in October. Okay, so what does that do? That makes Ben Rice bat tough to get in the lineup, right? You want Ben Rice bat in the lineup, but where's it going to go? Is it going to go at first base? And if Goldschmidt continues to fall off the cliff, maybe it will be at first base. Or are they going to have Ben Rice try to catch? Which, breaking news, he's not a catcher. I don't care how many games he played in the minor leagues as catcher, Ben Rice isn't a catcher. So why is he out there in the late innings of a tie game against a division opponent that is on the verge of tying you? Why is he out there catching? Catching Devin Williams, no less, who's difficult to catch. You saw the way Ben Rice tried to protect that ball, the wild pitch. I mean, what are we doing here? This is Yankee baseball. That's what the Yankees do. This is how they construct the team. And Cashman looks us all in the face, and Aaron Boone the same thing, and they say that they are better than what we think they are. We think we're good. We think we're great. We're better than you say we are. Year after year after year after year. And they get away with it because somehow, because like for me, I was saying all last year, they're not that good. I'm sorry, but they're not good. Like, yeah, Judge is otherworldly. Last year it was Judge Soto together, and we know what those guys are. We know what Judge is. We know what Giancarlo can be when he runs into him, closes his eyes, and hits a home run. We get that. But they just don't play the game the right way. And last year, from June on, whatever it was, they were not a good team, even record-wise. But you can't take out what they did in April and May. And then they get to the postseason and get to the World Series. So it's hard to go nuts and criticize them and say, hey, they aren't good. And then you have Brian Cashman saying, well, we went to the World Series. What do you want? It's a crapshoot. Anything could happen in a best-of-seven series. Hey, we win 90-plus games every single year. We're in the postseason. And they're right about that, which makes it frustrating because it's really hard to go nuts about it. Even now, like, do you think the Yankees aren't going to make the playoffs? Of course we think the Yankees are going to make the playoffs. You think the Yankees really aren't going to win the division? Of course we think they're going to win the division. Still very confident the Yankees are going to win the division, because even in a game where they were getting embarrassed last night, 8-0, they come all the way back. That's the appeal. That's the lure of the Yankees. Now, I don't know why Schneider decided to finally pitch the Judge. What did you think was going to happen? You knucklehead, you pitched Aaron Judge, he's going to make you pay. And he did. But we still have confidence in the Yankees. They have enough talent to do damage and overcome the other areas of deficiency. But why is it acceptable to field a team with guys out of position? This is the Yankees. This is not the Wilpon-led Mets. It's the New York Yankees. The Mets used to do that crap all the time, play guys out of position. Why is Ben Rice catching at the big league level? Why is DJ LeMahieu still on this team? Why is their best second baseman playing third base? Why haven't they cleaned this thing up? Why have they allowed a shortstop with superstar potential to decline? To decline for 3 years? Why is it acceptable? What, because some metrics or analytics or data says that it's better than we think when our eyes are telling us? Does anybody with the New York Yankees watch the games? Manager included. Are you watching the games? I don't want to hear about the metrics that you shoved down our throat about why IKF was a good shortstop until you finally changed it conveniently in the postseason. So we were right, you were wrong. The numbers you were using were wrong. Told you not to put Labor at shortstop. You did that anyway. Wrong. The Yankees have made a lot of wrong moves, and they think we're the ones who are wrong for questioning them. And they get away with it because their record. Hard to argue with the record. Being in the postseason for, you know, 30 consecutive years. You know, we exaggerate for effect, but you get the idea. Finally getting to the World Series a year ago, even though the real reason they got to the World Series is because of Judge and Soto's greatness in that lineup. And the manager himself said it. He sat right here with BT and me and said that exact thing. We could talk about the lack of competition in the American League. That's not the Yankees' fault. Nothing they can do about it. Hey, it's the Royals. We're going to beat the Royals. Hey, it's the Guardians. We're going to beat the Guardians. And maybe the same thing happens this year. Could you look at the landscape of the AL? Now, I mean, I think it's a little bit more steep with the Tigers. With the Astros, they can be a little bit more dangerous. I'm still not taking the Blue Jays or the Rays seriously yet, and maybe that's my mistake. Would I be shocked if the Yankees got to a World Series? No, I wouldn't. But how many years in a row are we going to live with the same thing with the sloppy baseball? There is no the catcher's interference with J.C. Ascara. Like, the Yankees are teaching that. That's not an accident. It's not a catcher's error. They're teaching that. How is it acceptable that Ben Rice is allowed to catch? Why? He's not a catcher. Figure it out. You want his bat in the lineup? Put him at first base. You didn't need Goldschmidt then. Or get rid of Giancarlo and put Ben Rice at DH. Or, I don't know, maybe teach somebody to play a position. You can't have two DHs. It doesn't work that way. Unless there's another rule change coming that I'm unaware of, you don't need two DHs. You need one. And this is a problem that we foresaw. Like, we said this months ago. Hey, what are you going to do here? How are you going to get your best bats in the lineup? At least they didn't put Ben Rice at third. You know why? Well, he can't play third. Yeah, he can't catch either. You're going to put Ben Rice at third because that would be the obvious fit? No, he can't play third. Well, he can't catch. Guys running all over the bases on him. Yankees are just a slop. They were supposed to be more buttoned up. a better brand of baseball without Soto's bad whatever. You know, you want to call it a bad contract if the Yankees were to get him. It didn't fit the Yankees. And they take that money and spend it elsewhere. And plan B was supposed to be great because every piece fit better. And they're going to be better brand of baseball. Gleyber out of here as well. Not just the Soto contract and the money that they have to spend elsewhere. No Gleyber Torres, who, by the way, starting second baseman for the All-Star team this year. Now, I'm not going to knock the Yankees on that. They had to move on from Gleyber. But they screwed him up every which way you possibly could. Are you shortstop? Are you not? Go play third. I don't want to. But they stick with LeMahieu. And don't dare question Brian Cashman. You can't question Cashman. I mean, because the way the Yankees have developed prospects, who could ever question that? These guys are all studs. Dominguez comes up last year. He can't catch a pop-up in the outfield. Now, wow, he hasn't been that bad this year. He's been fine in left field. But that's not what he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be a stud defensive center fielder. The Martian. The next Mickey Mantle. And I'm not picking on him. Obviously, he's been better, you know, much better lately offensively. Maybe you give him some runway and let him be an everyday player and let him go and see what you have here. But how could you justify continuing to play guys out of position that is costing you? By the way, another thing the Blue Jays do that the Yankees don't, aside from being a little bit better buttoned up, they put the bat on the ball. Something the Yankees have neglected for years. Launch angles and home runs. Yeah, we'll live with the strikeouts. Well, how's that worked out for you? Hasn't been a good offense. I don't care what the numbers say. It's been great because of Aaron Judge. He makes it great. Forget the division and where they're at with the like, they'll be fine. What's not fine is accepting bad baseball. And we have accepted it for far too long with the Yankees. They believe that their power and prowess and, you know, top-end pitching, whether it's Gerrit Cole or Max Fried, combined with the power of Judge and Stanton and some of the others in that lineup who, when they're on, look unbeatable. They neglect playing the game the right way. And it's blatantly obvious when they have a guy like Ben Rice, who's not a catcher, catching. When they've done this with shortstops forever. We mentioned the few before. Torres, IKF, even with Volpe right now. Letting the kid sink. He can't give you anything offensively and defensively. He's shot right now. Letting him sink. 3 years in a row. Here you go. Sink or swim, young boy. But I don't need floaties on. Volpe needs some floaties. The Yankees didn't want to give him any floaties. And they let him go right into the deep end. No third baseman. Yeah, we'll play Jazz over there. It's fine. We're good. He's an athlete. They rely too much on the metrics and the data and not enough with the eyes. And those little things add up, and they're costly. So even though, spare me the, well, we played in the World Series a year ago, Sal. Yeah, I get it. Spare me that. Button it up. The Dodgers punked you. They knew how to beat you. They knew what was going to happen. Talking about how sloppy the Yankees were, and the Yankees didn't get any better. And they still do the same damn thing by playing guys out of position. Constantly. Joey Clams starts us off in Brooklyn. What's up, Joey Clams?
How you doing, Sal? Yeah, I remember the last time I was on, you said I walk around with that name. Everybody knows me. I'm known all over the place.
There you go, Joey Clams.
Everybody knows Joey Clams.
Yeah.
Listen, this guy Boone and that coaching staff has got to go. Where's the Yankee blood in that coaching staff? Where's the Willie Randolph who could grab you and tell you, give you tough love and tell you what you're doing wrong? Somebody that's been through the war. This Boone is not a good manager. And Cashman, 7 years ago, he made that mistake. He says, oh, lefties were going to be an outcast in baseball. He went with an all-righty DH softball team years ago. And then when they
changed. But Joey, how is it Boone's fault? Like, for me, I'm looking at
either you're coaching it or you're letting it happen.
He didn't construct the roster. Now, maybe he had a part in that, but he's not the one constructing the roster. That's Brian Cashman.
But you're the manager. Either you're coaching it or you're letting it happen. You got to make plays better. Torres, you should have made better. You destroyed everybody. There's nobody there. You're still bad at what you were bad at last year. your defense, your middle infield.
I know, but that's not to me. That's not Boone's fault.
Yes, it is. It's his fault. You're the manager. Make them better.
Yeah. Okay.
He's terrible. He's terrible in extra innings. He's terrible.
No. They're terrible. They're terrible, Joey. And thank you for the call. Enjoy the clams. They're terrible. Hey, look, you could change the manager. Sure. You think that's going to help? I don't. It's the same philosophy that the Yankees have with building this team. This is a roster that is poorly constructed. They relied, and we said this going into the year. Well, at least I said this, and I'm sure I wasn't alone, but we said it going into the year, relying too heavily on the young guy. Where's Austin Wells? Where's all-star Austin Wells? Supposed to be a stud catcher. Give me the projected numbers again. Hit me with it. Hit me with the projected numbers. Is Austin Wells an all-star catcher? When exactly is Volpe going to take the leap to superstardom? I mean, maybe he should first take a leap to being a functional, everyday big leaguer before we get to the superstardom part. Now, I thought he was going to be a star. I loved what I saw from Volpe. I was wrong. It's year three. I said it weeks ago. He's been a bust. That's 0-2. And Dominguez has been okay. He's hit 6 homers, 3 of which came in one game. He's impacted 4 games, more than midway through the season. He's impacted 4 games with a homer. So he's not what he was supposed to be either. Goldschmidt's not as good as everybody thought that he was in the beginning of the year. He came out of the gate on fire. And he's better than Rizzo, sure. But has Goldschmidt been this unbelievable find? Or is he starting to look his age a little bit, maybe? I like Goldschmidt. I'm not trying to make... I'm just... You know, these are all the moves the Yankees made. Bellinger has not been great. Yeah, he's got speed. He's a good defensive player. He hasn't been enough protection for Aaron Judge. Jazz has been good since coming back. He's been much better since coming back off the IL. He's also a second baseman. He's playing third base. Ben Rice, good offensive player. You trust him. Doesn't have position. Giancarlo Stanton, I mean... Now, maybe you got to give the Yankees a break on this because probably we're caught off guard with Giancarlo being out for an extended period. You can't really anticipate that type of stuff. Can't expect that to be the case. So give him a little bit of a break because they did have to deal without Giancarlo Stanton for an extended period. That's, you know, doesn't happen every single year. But then when he comes back, nice to have him back in the fold. What do you do with Ben Rice? I don't know. Try him a catcher. Jamie is calling from Erie, Pennsylvania. What's up, Jamie?
Hey, how's it going, Stu? You're speaking my language today, okay? Because I'm a Yankees fan, but this team is constructed all wrong. Did you ever go to a store, Sal, maybe when you were younger, you were a kid, you saw some kind of candy or something, you said, ooh, I got to try this. So you take the money out of your allowance out of your pocket, you spend the money, and you get the candy, eh. This isn't what I really wanted. This isn't good, okay? Do you continue buying it every day, or do you cut bait with it and switch on to something new? Just because you're paying DJ LeMahieu all this money, and just because you're paying Stanton, and I know he hit a home run last night, his first home run, but just because you're paying these guys all this money, do you stick with them forever?
I'm with you. Where's the accountability? I mean, BT and I talked about that yesterday, Jamie, and thank you for the call. Where's the accountability? It hasn't been there from the top on down. This is not a new problem. It gets tiring. I'm tired of yelling about it. For years, we've been talking about this. Years. Why is DJ LeMahieu still here? And you're right, Giancarlo hit a home run yesterday. I mean, it's about freaking time. How many games has he been back? That's what he's supposed to be doing, right? It's not like he's helping you out on the base paths. He's not helping you out in the field. He's not helping you out with his flexibility. He's supposed to be hitting home runs. That's what he's here for. What he did yesterday, a big home run, getting the Yankees back in the game. Well, nice of him to show up, finally. I mean, we're midway through the season. But remember, you don't want to go nuts about it because the Yankees will be fine. Like, I don't think the Blue Jays are a legit threat. I think that they're okay. You know, they can't compete with the Yankees when the Yankees are at their best. What the Yankees did do was give them some life. You saw the euphoria in Vlad Guerrero Jr. when he caught that final pop-up, the final out. You could feel it with the crowd, excited to take the first three from the Yankees, get a tie for first place. They're not on the Yankees level. This is less about the division and the Blue Jays or the Rays. This is about the Yankees. Since when is it acceptable to have the Yankees run the type of teams out there that they've run out there with guys all over the place playing out of position and relying on too many young guys that continue to disappoint every year?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
I'm assuming you saw that.
Yeah, the check swing, of course. And the night before, Boone was lighting him up in the dugout.
Right, so then I forget where I saw this. Might have been on postgame yesterday or whatever. But basically, like, it's not on, it is a little on Ascara. But Boone was saying that they go over certain batters that could be a problem.
I heard it.
So this is an organizational thing where these imbeciles, because it drives me nuts, and I'm sorry.
Sounds like it feels now.
They are trying to steal, because we've, like, enough with the framing and the stealing. They're putting a priority on trying to steal pitches to a point where it's costing them with catcher's interference. And they're aware of it to a point where they say which batters could potentially be a problem. Oh, this guy's, don't worry about it, so you could try to steal a pitch here. This guy maybe don't. And you're seeing it cost them in real time. Is it worth trying to steal pitches by extending and catching the ball sooner with all the catcher's interferences? Like, you clearly have a problem, but I'm not putting it on Ascara. I'm putting it on the Yankees for teaching this nonsense.
I can't stand it. It's an epidemic throughout baseball. By the way, you know, we talked about this with Francisco Alvarez a couple times when he was late getting the shin guards down, trying to steal a pitch. You know, I know that when we were playing at this point, the dinosaurs were you know, maybe sitting in the stands watching us play. But if you caught, like, in the 80s or the 90s, or even the early 2000s, You really had a number one. You had to be a leader. You had to have some toughness back there, obviously. If you could hit, that's a big time bonus. Depending upon how what level you played, like a lot of coaches call their own pitches. But if you got to do that, you had to have the instinct. You had to have rhythm with the pitching staff, and those are all things that are non-negotiable for a catcher. But you got to block the balls, and you got to throw guys out. And what I don't understand about this, and it's not just the Yankees, this base, this shift in stealing pitches, is that you are teaching a new generation of catchers to do something that won't matter as soon as the robot cop gumps come.
Yeah, it's over. It's over. Once they, and hopefully it's next year. And now I've never been a proponent of the robo-umps. I am now. It's unfortunately the way the game has evolved.
I know what you mean, man.
It's necessary.
Yeah.
I was resistant.
Me
I didn't
too.
Want replay.
Oh, it's not baseball. Yeah, no, we can't do that. I'd rather see that than the stupid framing stuff.
100%. Now you need it, and it would eliminate that nonsense trying to steal pitches and all that garbage. Plus, it would eliminate some of the bad calls. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Back to the Yankees. Jeff is in the Bronx. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, what's up?
Hey, Jeff.
Guys, listen, all this problem is the Yankees' philosophy in the front office. There's a human element to playing baseball. The Yankees forgot about that. I mean, they don't believe in cold streaks. They don't believe in nothing. All they believe is what's in the back of your baseball cards. Look at Sonny Gray, for example, when he came here. He was horrible. He left the Bronx. He was Sonny Gray again. Some people are not meant to play in the Bronx. You know
yeah,
what
that's
I mean?
True. Okay, so we know that. But, Jeff, which players on this team do you feel are ill-equipped to handle the adversity, the pressure, the spotlight of the Bronx? I don't feel that really from anybody.
Volpe would be mine.
Volpe.
So just Volpe? Just Volpe?
Listen, you got Volpe there.
Yep.
Volpe, I mean, this is like nuts. I mean, it's crazy. And you know what? This kid has so bad luck. The ball finds him every second, man.
That's what happens.
Crazy.
You can't hide.
He's a shortstop. I mean, I would hope so, and thanks for the call, Jeff. the ball finds him. You put him in left field to try to hide him at first, but he's a shortstop. The ball's going to find him. I feel horribly for Volpe right now because I don't believe the Yankees put him in a position to succeed. He wasn't supposed to be their shortstop 3 years ago. He won the job in spring training. Yankees organization made a calculated decision to say, hey, you know what? We think he's ready right now. We think he's going to be a superstar. Let's go with him. And they did, and they let him sink or swim. Unfortunately, rookie year, he sank. Cashman doubled and tripled down.
Yeah.
Year two, not much better. And now year three, he is sinking. He is sinking badly. And it's not about ability. It's not that he doesn't have the ability. I think he's mentally all over the place right now.
Well, he is, but as I've said, he's got the ability. I mean, yeah. He's got quick hands, good feet, all that stuff. You know, his arm's not
quick
amazing, but it's accurate. Quick switch guy, yeah. not that quick on the bases this year.
No,
they've
kind of
figured out that little jump stop where he gets that, where he jumps in the air. He times they've actually figured that out a bit. No, I know he has ability, but I also think he's got holes in his swing, which I've talked about a lot, which is why I don't think it's that he's overwhelmed by the specter of the Yankees. I just think if you're missing 94, 95, that's straight over the plate, that's more of a baseball thing than a mind thing. And that's why I pushed back and asked the last caller, like Bellinger's not overwhelmed by the Bronx, Goldschmidt's not, Jazz not. I don't see that. I've seen that with other players over the years. Jack McDowell had that a little bit, Sonny Gray, and some others too.
A lot of the pitchers.
Carl Pomato. I think it's more pronounced with the pitchers, maybe not as much with the hitters. But now, think about the human nature of baseball. And we didn't love it, right? We knew it was baked in. We acknowledged that. I want to take everybody back to June 21st. You know what happened on June 21st? Well, I'm going to tell you, Yankees won 9-0. Specifically, you know what happened within the box score? What do you think I'm going to say? Volpe had 3 hits. What'd they do the next day?
Yeah,
they sat him.
I know.
You know what's happened since? 0-4, 1-4, 0-3, 0-1, 0-2, 1-4, 1-4, 0-5. So when he was approaching 240 and his OPS was kind of trending towards 750, he's now down to 225 with an OPS of 712. I don't know if that would have led to a little hit streak, but I'll tell you what, I would have liked to have seen the chance.
We all said at the time, too, it's just an asinine decision that the organization predetermined with Volpe. If I had to pick one word for why Volpe is struggling, and I think it's the most important thing in a lot of players, but specifically with Volpe, it's confidence. I think his confidence is shot. I think it's been wavering since he's been in the big leagues. He's trying to figure it out. Sometimes he has a little success and he's more confident. Then he starts to fail and he doesn't have that true confidence to find his way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think his confidence, whatever he did have, is completely shattered. How do you build that back up? The way to do it is to have some success. Well, how is he going to have success if his confidence is shattered? You either sit him down, like you said, BT.
Which is what I said. I'd sit him the rest of this Toronto series.
Hope for a reset when you get him back out there. Or you send him down and reset him. That's the hard reset. And then you really find out what he's made out of. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know him personally, so I don't know how he would respond. What I do know is this. You're trying to win a World Series. You cannot keep running them out there at shortstop every day and getting this type of play and expecting to win a lot of ball games.
I don't disagree. The one thing at this point that I've got an abundance of confidence still with Anthony Volpe is an incredibly high level of character, an incredibly high level of care to be good at his job. You use the word confidence. I'm going to use the word overmatched right now. Mm. It's to me, that's why it's a little worse and maybe a little more worrisome, because this is just me being consistent with what I view him as a hitter. Like, to me, it's not confidence. Like, if he was rocking and there were no flaws and nothing was pointed out, like the sliders outside or the fastballs letter high that he keeps missing or fouling back, to me, it's always been he's just a little less than as a hitter. And I think it's getting amplified by a lack of confidence, but I think it started from a being a little overmatched as a hitter.
Phil is calling from Massapequa. What's up, Phil?
Hey, Phil.
BT and Sal, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, bud.
Don't worry, Phil. Good.
Yanks obviously need an upgrade at third. The morning show was talking about Arenado. He's got two more years on his deal after this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think Arenado would not get us any closer to winning a championship this year. And then I'm going to hate watching the black hole of him playing for the next 2 years. I mean, we never cut these guys. Hicks, Gallo, now DJ. I don't want to bring on more dead weight for the next 2 years.
Do you still think he could field? Because he's an elite fielder still. Do you think that or no?
He could pick it for sure.
Okay. Isn't that a starting point? If you got him at third and you got Jazz at second, let Hal figure out the money.
Yeah. Well, what are the other options? You don't want to sit there and watch him the black hole. I get it. And maybe they don't want him either. But then what are your other options? You need a third baseman.
Bring back Gio. Bring back Urshela. We never should have got rid of him in the first place. Donaldson IKF trade was a disaster.
Oh, God,
yeah, go get IKF, too.
Let's get Nettles on the phone.
Yeah, I mean, look, Phil, and thank you for the call. You want to get Urshela back? Fine. Guys want IKF? I guess fine. I'm not even saying I love the idea of Arenado. I don't necessarily love it, but what I do know is he's a different ball player than what the Yankees have.
Yeah.
Somebody who will put the bat on the ball. He's a proven pro, and he's a gold glove elite all-time defensive third baseman. So even if he's fallen off a little bit, he's still a true big league third baseman that might use the jolt of being in New York. And by the way, I'm not even so sure the Cardinals at this point are going to be looking to move him. And the Cardinals themselves are in last we checked where they were in the playoff mix. So why would the Cardinals Cardinals are 47-40. Are they 4 games back in the NL Central? Are they going to be looking to really move Arenado at this point?
And if they are they going to be willing to eat as much money required for the Yankees to probably really get him from a realistic perspective? I'm looking at this right now. His range is still in the 80-plus percentile. Now, his arm strength's a bit diminished. He's not going to run. And by the way, as you indulge my geeky side for a moment, his K rate is 10%, which is very low.
Well, that's my
very
point.
Low. Puts the bat on the ball. He's a great fielder.
That's exactly right. Something they don't have enough of. It's strikeout after strikeout after strikeout, and they're sloppy. Now, the other part of that is if the Cardinals, or let's say the Cardinals are willing to move him, it's going to be, hey, you want him? Take the contract. The Cardinals aren't looking for better players in return necessarily.
Maybe young players. Maybe you can split the difference there where they maybe eat some money and they get a decent prospect.
There's a fine line. Point is, Yankees need a third baseman. Like, whether you want Arenado or not, or whether it's realistic from a Cardinals or Yankees perspective, the Yankees need a third baseman. That is a known fact.
Yep. No question.
And it's not just like, to me, it wouldn't be like, a bench player / third base. No, you already have that. Well, LeMahieu, some of the other options. And they might move LeMahieu back to third time. I wouldn't be shocked if that's the case. Jazz back to second and LeMahieu at third.
I'd like to see something here. The other thing somebody like Arenado does, now he can't field the ball for Volpe, but to have that reassuring veteran presence next to you, 25 feet to your right, at this point, it's probably better. I know he gets along with Jazz, and I love Jazz's energy, but Jazz is a mess right now at third base. So you got the entire left side. Arenado's only going to make third infinitely better and maybe help Volpe.
You know, I'm thinking this because it made no sense to me. And again, this is the Yankees do stupid things like IKF. Oh, yeah, he's a shortstop. I'm going to watch him. Like, no, he's not. So how could I see it better than their organization and their analytics? Gleyber Torres, oh, he's a shortstop. No, he's not. Wrong again. Yankees wrong again. I didn't understand. I just assumed. Now, this was my fault for assuming. I assumed when LeMahieu came back They were going to put LeMahieu at third and Jazz back at second. Like, Jazz is a second baseman. He hasn't been bad at third.
His throws are becoming an issue, okay, man.
Well, they're becoming an issue, but it's not like he was a liability or bad. He was fine there. So maybe their thinking was, let's see if we could get Jazz more acclimated to third and go get a second baseman.
Yeah.
Because the second base market is better than the third base.
And I said the same thing.
That would be the only thing that makes sense, because initially I'm just thinking, oh, when LeMahieu comes back, not that I want LeMahieu here, but you move Jazz back to second, put the right piece in the right place, and for now you have LeMahieu at third and you go get a real third baseman.
Did you see DJ trying to score from first base on the double? I think that was Goldschmidt. I'm like, and that's, you just... Yeah, again, I'm not trying to beg on a proud veteran, but man, I honestly thought I was watching Sunday Night Softball. Like, yeah, you obviously got to tap the brakes and hold them up, but the way he, like, tiptoed into third, it's just... This is not how you win a World Series, guys. Everybody knows it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Worst loss of the season for my money, because every aspect of the game was not represented well. They didn't run the bases well. Left side of the infield is an absolute mess. The bullpen comes out with, instead of a fire extinguisher, they come out with a gas can and matches. I mean, there's still nobody behind Aaron Judge. We can all identify the Yankees' flaws right now, because for the most part, Sal, the flaws of the Yankees have been very similar over the years. A little slow, even though they're more athletic this year, but not a great athletic team, not great clutching. Everybody knows that. So what I'm saying is this. Something's got to change in terms of the messaging. So today, and I don't think that this will happen, but what I think should happen is there needs to be a repercussion that's felt two ways. Number one, and I love the kid, but I got to keep it real. When Anthony Volpe gets to the ballpark today, Anthony Volpe's not starting. He's not playing. And I'm going to show Mark Leiter enough respect to not even have him go to the ballpark, because I'd cut him. And, like, I'm honestly not even trying to be a wise-ass here. Like, you cannot play this poorly, whether it's the Angels series, I mean, myriad mistakes on the bases, just shoddy defense
has
been bad. You can't let this go unchecked. you've got to have some penalty.
The defense is supposed to be the thing because, like, we heard about the plan B, and okay, well, moving Soto, now they get pieces that fit better. We also knew coming into the year they did not have a third baseman. They still don't have a third baseman. And you heard the comments from Jazz Chisholm after the game yesterday. He clearly is frustrated with having to be moved from second base to third base. The New York Yankees should be better than that. I'm not opposed to holding guys accountable or making some moves, whether it's cutting Leiter or sending Volpe down. Like, you know, the idea that Volpe's just getting... BT, I said it like 3 weeks ago. Volpe's a boss. We got to realize that. He's only gotten worse since then.
He's falling apart. He's falling apart
he's
lately.
He's crumbling down. Now, here's where I'll be a voice of reason for a second. The Jazz third base thing is an easy, easy, easy fix. Move Jazz to second. Play LeMahieu for now at third or whatever. Whoever you want to put there. Whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then go get a third baseman like I've been saying they should have done in February with Bregman. Go get a third baseman. Now, that's an easy fix. The more difficult, and the bullpen's also an easy fix. I know Cruz gets hurt. I know you talk about Leiter, whatever. You know, Loazaga has not been good, but they could go get an arm at the trade deadline. The difficult fix is how are you going to find a bat to protect Judge? You talked about that. And what are you going to do with Volpe? Like, that, they don't have a shortstop. Unfortunately, right now, the Yankees don't have a short. Even the catcher's interference nonsense with the scar.
Come on.
Dude, it can't keep happening. I mean, it just can't. Those little things.
It
clearly
makes it look worse.
And directly costing the Yanks yesterday. Directly costing Max Fried.
Yeah.
To a point where he's got to work an extra batter. Then he walks somebody. Then he gives up the home run to Jimenez. You saw it also get them late with the catcher's interference. Like, that stuff can't happen. And against the Blue Jays, who are playing pretty well right now, and the Yanks are not, there's no margin for error. But I think they have some minor issues. The big issue could be their shortstop.
But I'm going to go back to the repercussions, and that does involve Anthony Volpe, more so with Mark Leiter. And listen, it's not meant to be disrespectful, but Mark Leiter pitches way too much, and Mark Leiter too often does not pitch well. And I've got to at least send the tone here. There's a message that's got to be sent that this is the Yankees, okay? And your point about, you know, how do you not have a third baseman with this payroll, basically, that's one aspect of it. And that could be addressed. But the other aspect of being the Yankees is that there was always an urgency. And I'm not pulling back into the days of George and Hal. I'm not even going there. But everybody knows what I mean. You know, I mean, Bobby Meacham was a first-round pick back in the day. He made an error. I think it was in Texas. George Steinbrenner literally walked in the clubhouse and said, we're shipping you out. And I know that those days are gone. And I'm never going to, unless it just got worse and worse, there's no way I believe Volpe should go to the minors. But right now, the hard reality of it is he needs a reset. And Anthony Volpe right now does not look like a major league shortstop. The excuse was for his intermittent hitting, right? Like the up and down nature to his hitting.
Right, great defense.
Yeah, we could justify it with, yeah, but he picks it all, and he's on base, he's stealing base, he's stealing, this damn phone is driving me insane already. Right? So, I just pushed like three buttons, I couldn't find the right one. I finally got it. So, Anthony Volpe's got to sit, because I think if you do that, and I don't know downstream what impact it truly will have, but I know this. If there's not a bold move and sitting Volpe and cutting somebody like Leiter is bold to me, then it's just status quo and it's deemed acceptable. And the way the Yankees look right now is utterly unacceptable.
Okay, so let's be clear. Neither of us are concerned that we still think they're going to win the division. Whether they do or not, who knows?
I don't know that.
Oh, you're concerned about the team long term?
I'm not concerned about them making the playoffs. But remember, going into the season, I didn't think it was a lock that they'd be a division winner. Yeah, well, they jumped out to, they have a 6 or 7 game lead. I'm like, all right, better than I thought. Well, here we are. You're 11 games over 500.
Okay. So
the division's crowded.
I'm not going to go there yet. Now, I didn't think that they were as good. We've had this debate, and we could continue to have this debate until proven, whatever it may be. I definitively did not think the Yankees were better than they were a year ago getting the World Series. However, at this point, I'm not saying that, oh, they're a bad team and they're going to get nipped by the Blue Jays, whatever. I think they'll make some moves, but I like your accountability thing because that is something that has been lacking within the organization for years, starting at the top. When Brian Cashman has been allowed to assemble these teams year after year after year after year, and they keep doing the same things, launch angle, too many strikeouts, not playing the game the right way, there was no accountability there. What do you expect to change? Younger guys developing. Hey, they didn't want to send Volpe down a year, 2 years ago, let alone a year ago, or now, whatever it may be.
But I never felt that they should have. I know others disagreed. Well, I never looked at somebody that was not a major leaguer, even when he was hitting 220.
But if Brian Cashman defended Volpe, which he did years ago definitively.
With us, on our show.
Well, that, yes. And then you remember the clip that was going around yesterday on social media.
Which one?
Where it was the year after Volpe's rookie year.
All right, so 2024. It was last year.
Winter meetings.
Into last year.
Right, it must have been going into last year. Or maybe just the end of his rookie year.
Okay.
Joel Sherman was pressing Cashman. It was when Cashman got testy with the media.
I remember that exchange. Yeah, oh, yeah.
And there was one specifically where it was like, well, it's 1 year. And maybe it's just a player underperforming for 1 year. You come back to me and ask me that same question at the end of year two when Volpe's a star. Okay, well, now we're in year three, and Volpe has gotten worse. He's only gotten worse. I'm not trying to pin this all on him, but the Yankees' lack of accountability starting at the top where Hal's just like, okay, it's okay, we don't make it to the World Series. And then they do last year, okay, well, it's okay, we lose Juan Soto and don't go all in on everybody else. Because their plan B, while it might have been sound, while it was good and adequate for some, it was never as all in as it could have been for the Yankees trying to build off of their first World Series appearance since 2009. So it starts with that, and then some of the younger players, if they're not performing, well, here you go. Here's enough runway, Glaber or Gary Sanchez or whoever else it may be, in this case, Volpe, and there's nothing being done about it.
Well, here's what I don't understand, right? So sticking with Leiter's just, a transaction move that might send a little ripple in the clubhouse, whatever, but Volpe's obviously the big play here.
Or just moving Jazz. Like, there are other things they could do.
That's true.
You can just keep rolling him out there and hope for the best.
Well, that's why I'm saying no. Yeah, I mean, I gotta sit him. I got to sit him today. I wouldn't let him play the second game against Toronto. Now, you kind of wish that maybe you had the Pirates or the Reds or another of the White Sox, a fairly obscure in terms of rivalry or energy team, waiting for the Yankees after the Blue Jays series, right, rather than the Mets, which is going to be absolutely nuts.
You do. You got the Mets. Yeah. They just got pounded by Pittsburgh. They're up next.
Good luck with that bullpen today. Doubleheader. Yeah. Oh, my God. Which, by the way, does not allow Clay Holmes to pitch on that Sunday against the Yankees. But we'll get to Mets-Yankees. We'll get to, obviously, Mets-Brewers later. Doubleheader today. The point is this, though. So I look at the way sports has gone, and we talked about this in the NBA starting years ago with Greg Popovich, maintenance days. Well, maintenance days were used to basically protect the player's body. In this instance, whether you want to call it a bench or a mental respite, how about protecting the player from his mind? There is no way. And listen, whether it's Cash, whether it's Boone, whether it's the lowest level minor league roving instructor, they have forgotten more baseball than I will ever know. Than our show combined, the station combined. That's their livelihood. That is their craft, and I respect it. But they have to see what we see. And I'm just talking about body language. Like right now, Anthony Volpe, he is drowning, and the Yankees are allowing him to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the ocean. Throw the young man a life preserver, get him on the sand, get him a towel, get him something to eat, and then let him go back in the water. I'd sit him.
Yeah, and this is a bigger thing than just Volpe to me in just that one instance. This has been building for years with Brian Cashman. Also thinking, to your point, we know. Cashman has had that attitude. We know more than you think we know. We're smarter than you give us credit for. And they have the resume to say, well, look at how many years of the last 30 years.
Yeah, he's got some evidence there.
Okay, but then I can point back and say, well, you're the Yankees, and you're supposed to win with the resources that you have. You've been to one World Series since 2009, and that was with Juan Soto, who left. Like, that doesn't happen usually to the New York Yankees, and for whatever reason, it did. And it's not about him. It's about them building it out. Like, if George were alive, I don't want to go down that road either, but
all know what it means.
It means there would have been some accountability. And if, at the very least, if not accountability, then they would have gone out there and spent bigger and better. Oh, okay. Soto, you're going to spurn us and go to the Mets? Then we're going to go get every superstar that's out there. Bregman, bring him in and go play third base. Yankees right now, again, it's not panic. Yankees right now going through a little rough stretch. It happens to everybody. But you can see flaws with the way the organization operates here.
Yeah, you can. And we've pointed them out for a while. Yes. You know, and I'm just, it's crazy. I'm like, I took notes yesterday like it's a playoff game. Yeah. Like, and I always had the notebook, you know that. But there were just so many things. I didn't want to miss anything. And I'm writing some of this stuff down. And I'm not going to, drown and bore everybody with a million pages here. But one thing that jumps out to me, because this is emblematic of a lot of things that are wrong with the Yankees. Top seven. All right, top seven, Yanks are down 4-2. Judge with the intentional walk, which, by the way, and we were talking about this yesterday, obviously, you were out.
Yeah.
But that's the 21st now that he's been walked. The Yankee record is 23, and that was during Mickey Mantle's season in 1957.
It's only going to get worse.
Go and ask Francesa what Mantle was doing in 57. It was pretty much what Judge is doing now. now to an extent. Like, that's how long it's been. The point is, they walk Judge, right? And then you have an error by Clement who never makes errors. Then you have an error by Vladdy at first base when he took his eye off the ball. Now, the Yankees scored two runs, and Judge was walked with first base occupied. So it's now first and second. You get two minor league, little league errors, and you only scratch out two runs. That's the inning that you got to put a five spot on the board and bury a team. And that's why I say that inning is very emblematic of a lot of the flaws of the Yankees. And they've got too many for my taste. I'm worried about them.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. John is calling from New Haven, Connecticut. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to talk about something I read the other day as far as the Yankees, you know, the Anthony Volpe shortstop issue. So somebody had put something online saying that they think that maybe that they should try to acquire, Bobichet, I think it is?
Yeah, right.
From
Bobichet.
The Toronto Blue Jays, you know, because he's a free agent. And I don't know, you know, what you guys think.
Well, Toronto's not making a deal with the Yankees now. There's no way.
No, I'm saying for free agency, not just because he's a free agent.
I'm worried about this year. John, I appreciate the big picture view, but John, we got some problems now, buddy.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to go out and get somebody during the trading deadline. Either that is to get a third baseman, or they're going to have to get a second baseman, hands down.
Yep, I agree. They need a third baseman, and they need two relief arms. They need multiple moves.
But it's no surprise that they've needed a third baseman, because you and I, our disagreement on it was that we both said they needed a third baseman. Mine was just, hey, go get Bregman now. Yours as well, they could go get one at the trade deadline. Fair enough. Okay, either way, like, you think Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone don't think that they need a third baseman?
They do. And by the way, the reason why I was not high on Bregman for the Yankees is just the way where he hits the ball is. Yeah. That's why he does so well with Fenway with the OPS. Right. Pull happy, 37
feet.
Would
have been feet. A lot of money, whatever.
You know, yeah, and he doesn't go to right field at all. Yeah. I mean, so that's where you get a lot of cheap home runs to right field. He doesn't do that.
All right, but now think about the alternatives. You could bring in Arenado, who they didn't like in the offseason. Right. Otherwise, they would have traded for him there, so I don't think it's going
to
be him.
Did they not like him, or did they not like the money attached to him? Like, they better start liking him, because Arenado changes the entire complexion of this team.
Yeah, he might be their best option. Look, either way, a third baseman, you know, like a big league actual third baseman, doesn't need to be a superstar.
Yep.
Somebody that can field the ball, somebody that can put the bat on the ball.
Yep.
Yeah, Arenado would be a nice fit, whatever.
Hit 270.
Move Jazz to second. Okay, that solves one problem, but then what about the shortstop? I mean,
you just got to hope that Anthony Volpe plays his way out of it. I mean, I can't, and I said this yesterday too, like, we've had debates on his ceiling. I have never been concerned with his floor. But I'm starting to get a little concerned now, because now he's unraveling, which is why I'm saying the Yankees should sit him today and tomorrow. Just give him a little couple days off. I know he'd have to leave the hotel. He'd have to go to the yard. But I would even take – don't even take BP. But leave your glove, do a little jog, and stretch it up and watch for 2 days, right? But I do think now that the floor that I thought was not visible for Volpe is becoming a little more apparent, because I think his head is a mess.
Dude, you know, I said it weeks ago about, all right, we got to call him a bus. Like, why is everybody afraid to say it? Even with saying that, I'm with you. Like, I thought the floor was bad enough. You know, 225, whatever it may be. This is not good. Now it's gotten worse.
Leads baseball in errors at shortstop, and he's not hitting, and he's not running right now.
And he looks like he's lost.
And that's my point. You've got to protect the young man from himself at this point.
Right, and then the reason why I said, when he had callers talking about it last week, hey, maybe send him down, I was like, I don't know if you can do that, because at this point, there's too much, like, it's year three. Imagine sending him down. That might do too much damage to him.
I wouldn't send them down.
But they
had another option.
They may not have a choice. Well, that is true, too, but
I still wouldn't send them down. I mean, I think it's a little different for a pitcher. Roy Halladay got sent down years ago with Toronto. Like, there is a roadmap to Vientos a year ago to get sent down and come back and do some damage. But again, I would sit him for a couple
of days.
But
it's not working here.
I hear you.
Mark is on Croton on the Hudson. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, BT, Sal. Thanks for taking the call. Love to take BT. Usually see eye to eye. Sal, I know you're a Yankee hater, but we're good. I think growing up, 37 years old, 96 team, was in fourth grade. So that Yankee run is definitely, like, cemented into my memories. But, like, when I turn around and watch the Yankees today, I cannot recognize the brand of baseball that they're playing. That I was great growing up, you know, raised to, you know, good defense, good hustle, picking guys up. I don't see that. I don't know if it's just me, but I just Well, I'm just stating I hate their brand of baseball.
Mark, let me throw this at you. And I don't. Yeah, I think we got to. No, we're good. Yeah. I think that is kind of going around baseball. Like, now the Yankees have issues that maybe some of the other elite teams don't. They also have pluses that some of the other elite teams don't. But when you bring up, like, the 96 Yankees and all the role players, obviously the stars as well, yes, the Yankees looked very different aesthetically then from how they do now, but so did baseball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let's be fair. The game has changed, and there's less emphasis on doing the little things, not just the Yankees.
Well, that's why I'm not overly concerned, is because we've been down this road before. This is the same thing last year. And the argument, like, I remember doing one show one day, I think it was when you were out, when you were filling in for Susan.
Okay.
And one show was, hey, Yankees just, they're not a good enough team. Like, they don't do things the right way, whatever. And the next day was like, hey, you know what the good news is? Neither is anybody else. There are no good baseball teams. Look at Toronto, the team that beat the Yankees yesterday, kicking a ball all over the place, giving the Yankees opportunities with stupid, silly minor league errors. So that's why I'm not going nuts about the Yankees. And we still know that even their worst is going to be better than most. But that's what lets them skate by.
Mm-hmm.
Accountability free, and that shouldn't be the case. They should have built a better team. They should be better. They should hold themselves to a higher standard and expect more. Not just, well, look at the American League, look at the AL East, look at how many wins we have. They should be trying to build a better team with a better brand of baseball, and they haven't done it for years.
And until they get there, that's why I'm sending an absolutely swift message where nobody needs to interpret. Volpe, you're sitting, and we're cutting lighter. So the Yanks are playing at, what, 3:07, Dove? Yeah. So the pregame show is going to start at 2:25 with Susan. So rather than ending at 2, I will just take it up to 2:25, make the handoff there, Yankee pregame. Yanks try to get one today. Max Fried on the mound, 10-2 with a 1.92 ERA. Obviously a massive couple of days here for the Mets. We'll weave them in a little later. Second interview with Mike Brown today for those Knicks. And, you know, not many options on the free agent front because of the money. You know, they've got some exceptions, some mid-level veteran stuff. But the Knicks are trying to remake things here. And, you know, hopefully they get a coach before they actually do that. But Mike Brown, I know he impressed in the first one. And he's going to be, Dolan's going to be in there today. So, looks like we will get a chance to chat with Ian Begley a little later. I know he's got some TV commitments, et cetera, but we got a lot going on. BT and Sound on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number. Now, if you just tuned in, think about this, guys. Obviously, you watched the Yankees last night, frustrated at a litany of mistakes. You know, Volpe had a rough night. Rodon, you know, was grinding, but just, you know, just not very economical at all, which forces the Yankees to get to their bullpen a little. I'm getting a little tired, honestly, of watching Mark Leiter pitch so much. Why does Mark Leiter pitch so much? I feel like every night, and I watch the Yankees every night, I think every night Mark Leiter's pitching, Tim Hill's warming up, and then Tim Hill is eventually pitching. But the thing about that game last night, right, is, you know, Aaron Judge is left on the, the on-deck circle with a chance to come and do some damage and maybe win the game. Well, if that final out is not made, they're not going to pitch to Aaron Judge. Now batting number 99, the right fielder Aaron Judge. Oh, they're going to walk him as he strides the home plate. There's the fist from the ump, from the manager. Put him on, free pass. So this needs to be addressed and rectified and changed now. Now, there very well might, could, should, will, whatever, perhaps be an external option that is imported here by Cashman before it's all said and done. But you cannot mess around any longer. I'd bump him up to 2. Bellinger looks like he's got that locked-in look, and he's had that for a little bit after a rough start to his Yankee career. Hitting the ball well. He can run in addition to that. So with Grisham going down, I'm going to run out a trio to start. I'm going to give Dominguez some runways to lead off. Then I'm going Judge, and then I'm going Bellinger, and I'll go from there. All right, let's get back to the phones here. Rich is in Manhawken, on the Fan with BT and Sal. What's going on there, buddy? How are you, Rich?
Hey, BT. How are you? Thanks.
I'm good.
First, I just want to say I saw you guys at Fanatics Fest. You were great to the kids, so we really appreciate it. They're listening now because of it, so I really appreciate you for that.
Listen, I love seeing a kid. Love meeting the listeners of WFAN, but especially the kids. That's awesome. Glad they had a good time. What do you got?
Now, I think when we're looking at the Judge thing, we got to think about the lefties that are surrounding him and really need to back up Stanton up to Judge because – If they bring in a lefty from the pen, then you got, you know, you're just going to get the lefty to get jazzed out. At least if you have Stanton right behind him, then you got Stanton against the lefty. So I think going left-right normally works, but in this situation, I think they got to put a righty right in behind Judge to kind of prevent that lefty from coming in.
You know what, Rich? I would say, yeah, if it was a righty that I truly trusted here, and I know Stanton's eventually going to tag a few lasers and a few 460-foot missiles with an exit velo. Thanks for the call, man. And thanks to the kids for coming out. Good to meet them. Hopefully they keep listening to the fan, and we got a few new fans here. But Stanton's not the answer for a team that's trying to win a World Series, batting behind Aaron Judge. I'm not saying that there won't be nights where that wouldn't be rewarded. It will be, all right? But, you know, he can't move, and I'm just not looking for that. And, you know, listen, the high-leverage situation, you know, seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning, all right, you're going to be faced with that a little bit here. But Bellinger, he wears out lefties. So there's that. I mean, that's why I'm not putting Jazz anywhere near behind Aaron Judge myself, because I don't like the way he looks at just too many wild, empty swings where he misses the ball by a mile. Bellinger is an absolute professional hitter from, you know, from the left side of the box against lefties and righties, and that's what I would do. You know, again, will you get burned here and there by the occasional just flat-out nasty lefty? I mean, of course, it's baseball. But I think the greater issue would be more resolved than not with Bellinger behind him. Steve's in Holmdel, New Jersey. What's happening, Steve?
Hey, BT, big fan.
Thank you. What's cooking?
I'd like to make 2 points, if I will. First of all, actually, I totally agree with your proposed lineup. Dominguez, even when he doesn't get a hit, he works the count. He's got tremendous speed. I like Bellinger and back a Judge. Want to make two quick points, though. Last year, the Yankees suffered because of two guys that were complete dead wood. Those guys were Rizzo and Verdugo. Now, Rizzo and Verdugo this year were replaced by Goldschmidt and Bellinger. I think the reason the Yankees have fallen so precipitously is that when you look at all the Yankee averages right now,
yep,
they're all kind of hitting where you'd expect, you know, 240,
250, 230. Yep.
Exactly. I think from the offensive standpoint, the Yankees' precipitous slump has been because of Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt is now hitting like Rizzo. I mean, he was hitting 350, 360.
Yeah.
And while we knew that was an aberration,
yeah,
he has just gone ice cold.
Yeah,
he
has.
The other point I want to make, there is, yeah, one other point, Brandon, I'll certainly listen to your answer.
Go ahead.
My hand up. The problem with Volpe and Chisholm is they literally have no plan when they get up there. It's wild swings and... Okay, sure, Jazz came from another organization. But I don't know what the hell they're teaching Volpe. Maybe Volpe, even though he's in a terrible slump,
yeah,
maybe Volpe could still watch Goldschmidt shorten his swing. You've got home run hitters in Volpe and Bellinger and Goldschmidt used to be.
Mm-hmm.
These guys shorten their swing. Volpe is swinging from the heels.
Yeah.
He never, you know, he's either swings at a high fastball, swings right through it, and then a pitch toward the outside part of the plate. He rolls over,
yep,
and hits the ground. And
yes, he does.
Short.
Yes, he does.
I think the Yankees need to bring in another somebody to work with Volpe, because to me, there's too much to unlock there, and I think he could be so much better.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Steve, maybe they could wait until Anthony Volpe retires and they could bring in somebody to help him. The hell are they waiting for? Bring somebody in. Thanks for the call. I agree. I mean, there's certain players who came in with some hype where you just watch them and you're like, all right, the hype was not justified. Anthony Volpe should be better than this. You know, and I've talked a lot about Anthony over the last couple of months, and even last year. You know, like it's year three, it's now the middle of the season, he's had a ton of at-bats, and, you know, I didn't need him to burst on the scene and, you know, hit 270 in year one, and 295 in year two, and 309 in year three. I don't need that trajectory, but there's a lot of at-bats, and, you know, there's a lot of evidence that he has not cleaned up what has afflicted him so far, and we all know that. You know, missing the letter high fastball and chasing the slider on the outside part of home plate. It's a big problem. Either rolling over to short, which is what the last caller said, and he's absolutely right. It's when you try to pull an outside, you know, change up or whatever. I mean, any pitch, really. But certainly one with movement that's going away from you. You try to pull it, and you roll it over. Your hands, you just bang it right into the ground, and it's generally a 2-3-4 hopper to short. And you can even roll one over hard, and it like, oh, wow, I hit that hard. Yeah, but it's still a rollover. I see that with kids a lot. Hey, I got that on the barrel. Yeah, but you rolled it over. It's not gonna work out when you're older. Trust me. So I don't know. The problem with Anthony is that the things that he brings to the table are not being used enough because he's not on base enough. I mean, Anthony Volpe should be a 35 steal. You know, he should be. I would even say maybe 40. I mean, look at his minor league success. Now, obviously, you know, catchers are different. Whatever. But the reason the minor league steal numbers were incredibly high for Anthony Volpe is because he was on base a lot more in the minors, which gave him a chance to run more than he is in the majors. You know, I know he doesn't have a rocket at short. Yeah, if, you know, Lombard is the real, I saw he's going to the Futures game as well, George Lombard Jr. So if he's the real deal in a year or two, and I mean the real, real deal, and we'll see if he is. I mean, I like the early returns, but we'll see. If that's the case, you know, I mean, maybe Volpe's got to be punted over to second base. I mean, there's value there. I'd like to see a few more bunts. I'd like to see a different approach. There's definitely a lot off right now, and there has been a little bit with him. But, you know, the onus is inevitably on him to fix it. I know he's trying because he's got an incredible work ethic, and he's an incredibly diligent young man who you could see it's killing him what's happening. But the Yankees have to also assist him and find out what philosophy they actually want him to adhere to. I mean, the worst thing in the world is when Volpe comes up, chasing the launch angle. What? What are we doing? What? What are we doing with him? No, man. We should be spraying line drive bullets from the left field foul pole to the right field foul pole. And then when you're feeling good, you throw something inside, pull the hands, and boom, hit a long, surprising home run to left. Or, bang, pepper that short spot to right field. That's the hitter that we should see. But he definitely does not have a defined plan. I do agree with that. Let me get John and Brick, BT and Sound on the Fan. What's happening, John?
Hey, BT, how are you?
All right, what's cooking?
With regarding to Bellinger hitting behind Judge, I think we should keep him in front of Judge because I think there's so much upside with him in his batting, with his offense. And if you keep him in front of Judge, he's hitting much better when he hits in front of Judge.
Yeah, but what's more? Hold on a second. Let's have a conversation, John. I think that I know what you mean. So as Bellinger's starting to unlock things, and he's been on a nice run, and we know he can run, he's got good speed, but all those things, right? Credible for sure. Good right. Two-strike approach. But I am more concerned with keeping Aaron Judge in a position to swing than, you know, a 10-12% increase from Bellinger. That's just me.
Right, but if you only have Aaron Judge hitting, then it's not going to help. You want Bellinger also to be hitting. Like you got to have
I understand that. But why?
Hitting, right? You got to find someone else to put behind Judge.
Why?
Just have
hold on a second.
Bellinger and Judge are the only two pieces you play with.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Bellinger won an MVP. Now, he's not that guy anymore. But, I mean, Bellinger's going to hit 201 if he hits behind Judge. He'll be all right.
No, I'm not saying that. But you can't have everybody on the team hitting under 250 besides for Judge.
That's I understand
we had for
that.
Most of the season.
But I also can't have somebody who's got Aaron Judge's back. I mean, this is now becoming a bit of an epidemic. This is not an overreaction. Got 20 intentional walks. It's July 1. He had 20 all of last year. Now, some managers are just a little more cavalier than others. And Toronto's one of them. I get it. But you got to play Toronto a lot the rest of the series and season and both, really. Three more games here and the season. They're not going away. I still don't know if I take him incredibly seriously from a end of the season, 162-game threat to win the division. But until the Yankees get some real true separation, on some level you got to take him a little serious. No? 888-808-1019. BT and Sal, Brandon, Tierney, Sal Licata on the Fan. Come back, get these Judge calls, start getting into the Mets. Big one with the Brewers tonight. Little Knicks action as well, free agency. Remember the days chasing LeBron like beggars? Oh, God, let's hope LeBron could come and save us. Isn't it a little nice to at least have some scruples and integrity right now? You know, just go out there and get a guy off the bench. Stop begging people to come save us. But Mike Brown does have interview number two today, and James Dolan will be in attendance. And I'll tell you what I think is going to happen from there. BT and Sal on the Fan. So Jazz says this to Chris Kirschner after the game yesterday that I think makes the Yankees look bad. But it was Jazz being honest. Jazz said he only worked at second base during the offseason, and the Yankees explicitly told him he'd be their second baseman. That was the position where he began the year before he was moved to third base. Quote, everybody knows I'm a second baseman, Chisholm said. Of course I want to play second base, but whatever it takes to help the team win. If that's what the team chooses, that's what I got to do. I don't write the lineups. You feel me? I'm playing every day, so it's hard to be upset. Yes, I know I'm a second baseman. Yes, I know I'm a better second baseman. But at the end of the day, I still have to play third base. I just have to deal with it. Now, what's tricky about this is because Chris Kirschner is a great reporter and we're reading his quotes, mm-hmm. and he is a great reporter. I'm glad he got this interview. We don't hear it. So you don't hear the tone of Jazz Chisholm.
I would guess there's some levity in there.
So he isn't being passive aggressive, or do you think he is?
I don't think so. I think he's just, that's just how Jazz is. Like, because you heard him when he did the interview on ESPN. Would you listen to that?
Yeah, of course.
He's laughing all the time.
Yeah.
Like, he's real about it, but he's also not serious about it. And so he's not saying, I hate playing third base. I'm a second baseman. He's basically saying, you know, I'm a second baseman, but, you know, I got to play third, and I'm going to do his best for my team.
Spot the lie.
I can see him saying it with a smile.
I agree with you.
That's just how Jazz is.
Yeah, I don't think it was passive aggressive. I think it was Jazz shooting from the hip and being honest, right. Which is, yeah, I'm a better second baseman. Don't we all know that?
Of course. By the way, the team is better with him at second base.
Well, that's the thing that we got to wrap our head around.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't, any of us, make a big enough deal about this when it first happened. I kind of remember what Sean said. And just to go back in time.
I know what Sean said, because I just said it to Sean 2 breaks ago.
That they were playing Chisholm at third base because they thought they had a better chance to get a second baseman at the trade deadline?
No.
Because that's what Sean said.
No, that's not what I said.
Well, I'm talking about what Sean said. What'd you say?
That's not what Sean said.
Yes, it was.
Sean said, what the hell is the obsession with DJ LeMahieu? Period.
Well, no, hold on.
Yes, it is.
When they were bringing Jazz back from the injury, mm-hmm. and they announced he was moving to third base, you are right that Sean's never been a DJ guy, and I know we've had arguments about him, mm-hmm. but I remember
why did they move him to third?
Well, the theory that Sean had, which I didn't buy just based on the marketplace, was, hey, this is the Yankees telling us they think they have a better chance of getting a second baseman at the deadline than a third baseman.
Yeah.
You did say that, right,
so,
Sean?
Yeah, that was my hope, was because it didn't make any sense, knowing DJ's history at third base, why they were doing it.
Right. Right.
Yes. That was me trying to rationalize why the Yankees.
But I don't think any of us made a big enough deal about this, because why did they play him at third base? Especially, and maybe we didn't know this at the time, but Jazz admitted, oh, yeah, during the offseason, I was just working out at second base.
Yes.
So if the Yankees are kind of planning for you to be the second baseman, I don't think the Oswaldo Cabrera injury is enough to flip that plan on its head.
Well, it just tells you that they don't have any options because Cabrera's not available. Peraza's hitting 50 points below the Mendoza line, and so he's unplayable. And so your only option is to put DJ there,
yes,
or to put Jazz there.
DJ.
He can't move, dude.
He can't move. By the way, which is his problem at second base as well.
But I'd rather have a guy who can't move at third base than second base.
Yeah, here's the issue with what you're saying, in line with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
By putting Jazz at third base and keeping DJ at second, both positions are worse. Now, if Jazz is playing second, you have your up the middle infield is actually pretty damn good.
Yes.
Because Volpe's a gold glover despite some of the boneheaded errors that he makes, and Jazz is has a hell of a range and can get to all those balls as well. And in fact, they did a statistical analysis, and not really, you know, deep, but just a batter's average against with Jazz at second and whoever at third, Cabrera or Peraza, 191. With Jazz at third and DJ at second, it's 310. It's significantly worse.
That's the part that doesn't make sense.
Both positions with Jazz playing third base. Why he's playing third base makes absolutely no sense. This is the eye test, obviously.
Of course.
It's also the analytics test.
No, you're 100%.
So what the hell?
And go back to the basics. Jazz Chisholm is a second baseman.
Yes.
Jazz Chisholm in the offseason was preparing to be the second baseman.
Yes.
Last year, it was a different circumstance that moved him to third base because Gleyber Torres was here.
Mm-hmm.
I do not understand. And again, it's all kind of our fault in a weird way that we didn't raise the alarm bells enough when this first happened.
They were winning, and it didn't matter. And they were scoring a ton of runs, and just having Jazz in the lineup because his bat felt exciting was enough.
Or maybe we just assumed Jazz will go to third base and he'll turn into A-Rod over there.
Yeah. He was fine in the postseason last year, too. That's the other thing.
But it's still not his more natural position.
He's fine there. He's not great there.
Absolutely.
They are, but to your point, Tekin, I think this is where Aaron Boone's got to make a change, and he didn't tonight. I've looked at the Yankee lineup. Mm-hmm. It is not any different defensively. Because he was asked yesterday, hey, have you thought about Jazz at third and DJ at second? Right. And instead of throwing it away, he said, it's something we'll look at.
You mean Jazz at second.
Jazz at second, DJ at third. My apologies if I got it backwards. Yeah.
Right.
And Boone said, it's something we'll look at. Well, something to look at, you should just do it.
Right.
DJ's also, his arm is cooked too. I don't even think he can make the throws consistently either.
And so the reason I think Aaron Boone is in an impossible situation is because DJ, because what Sean is saying and alluding to, cannot play third base. So who's playing third base?
Well, you could play Oswald Peraza and just deal with the 150.
I mean, can't have the entire left side of the infield hitting that terribly between Volpe. No, Volpe's compounding this whole thing.
Which makes this trade deadline imperative.
Oh,
no doubt. Why I said Evan might ultimately end up being right about his brain predicting Nolan Arenado. Now, the timing might be wrong because you said it would happen before opening day.
Yeah, it's off by a few
months. It might happen by the trade deadline. The problem is that the Cardinals are in it.
Yeah, but the Cardinals are not that good.
They're not good. But
They're going to trade them.
And by the way, if it's not Eugenio Suarez, I know Ryan McMahon keeps coming up, but he's having a terrible season as well. So if it's not Eugenio Suarez, it's got to be someone like Nolan Arenado.
Why don't we go bigger?
Who?
Why don't we think bigger? I got a big guy. I got a sexy guy.
You talking about a Red Sox?
I'm not talking about a Red Sox because that would be unrealistic. I am trying to have some sanity of realisticness.
Just making
if you
sure
will.
You weren't going to throw a real pipe dream our way.
Alex Bregman, nah. I don't think the Red Sox would make a trade with the Yankees, though they did trade them Stephen Drew that one time. I think that when we talk about DeGrom and we talk about Texas, maybe we're not thinking of the right guy. We're thinking of DeGrom just because of his affiliation with New York. But if the Texas Rangers are going to be mediocre, and right now they are.
Yeah, they're 2.5 out of the wild card.
But they're under 500.
Yeah.
I mean, they're behind the Angels, for crying out loud. Like, I'm just saying, a team on the precipice that could move a big contract, they have a massive contract from a player that could change everything. Because the way I think this would work out is if you brought this guy in, you'd play him at third base, and you've solved your issue. And then next year, he takes over shortstop until George Lombard is ready. And you tell Anthony Volpe, you ain't all for this world. And the guy I'm talking about, he makes a lot of money.
Right.
He's always hurt, but man, when he's healthy, he can play, is Corey Seager. Now, the question is, would the Yankees be willing to absorb a majority of that contract? He is due after this season, 6 years, $189 million. That is a lot.
That is a whole lot.
Takes him through his age 37 season. He is another left-handed bat. He's won before, as we know. And the thing with Corey is he's just got to stay on the field. But that would change things. And it would do two things at the same time. Number one, I wouldn't necessarily have him replace Anthony Volpe right away. I'd have him come in and shift over to third base and play. Next year, when I have a full offseason and a chance to evaluate, then I got a chance to kind of whisper back to Corey, okay, you got your shortstop job back. All right, Volpe, you're moving to second, or whatever we decide to do with you.
Can't move him to second. Jazz is still here.
Well, my point is it's the offseason. You have more room to.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to alter everything. Like, if I brought him in and tell Anthony Volpe in the middle of the season you're moving to second base, it's probably not ideal. So, is it too crazy because of the money? Is that the problem that we just don't think Hal would spend? Or would you want to spend the $189 million for him?
My answer to that would be if we're in panic mode to spend on Corey Seager at 31 years old on a trade like that, then why the hell didn't they just sign Alex Bregman, to be honest with you?
Yeah, good point.
And just get a natural third baseman.
You can't go back in time, though. And
I don't
also
think they anticipated it being
this bad,
this untenable.
But I also think you're kind of dismissing Seager over the last couple of years. He hasn't had the greatest year this year. Though his numbers are still not
awful, awful. Mm-hmm. But look what he did last year. 30 home runs. Look what he did the year before that. He was a 1,000 OPS ball player. Like, he's still good. Yeah, it's not act like right. he's some bum.
And it's better than what they have. I'm not saying no. And would I be excited? Yes, I would. But I just don't think that's going to end up being more realistic for me. I don't.
What
but
if Texas picked up part of it? I mean, the way the Marlins different. Picked up part of the Giancarlo contract.
Well, now you're talking.
Yeah.
Because I think money's a big issue with the Yankees right now. I can't believe I'm saying that, but it's the truth.
I think it's more realistic the Rangers try to move Seager's contract than DeGrom's.
Man.
I do. I think they would. I think they would look at Seager's long-term nature of it and say, you know what? Let's see if we can get some money off this and maybe bring back a decent prospect.
But even with the signing of DeGrom and all of that, I just have a tough time thinking, as Tiki said, if they're hanging anywhere within three games of that wild card, knowing the open nature of the American League, I have a tough time thinking they're not going to try to just not like make trades to go for it, but really sell off.
Totally get you. Because there are, look, Arizona's the same way. Because Yennier Suarez is the other name that makes sense. Bring him in, right-handed pop, third base, all that. And I think the Diamondbacks are in a similar situation. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they faced each other in the World Series a few years ago. But they're sort of in it. So, yeah, we are looking at teams that are kind of on that cusp of being in it or out of it. But I think the point remains the same, whether it's an impact guy or non-impact guy. They have to get better. And that almost in a weird way makes it easier.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
And a very happy 4th of July Eve. It's a summer Thursday, but sort of a summer Friday before an awesome weekend known as 4th of July weekend. Welcome in to this edition of Evan and Tiki. We got a lot to get to. Looks like Mendy's lineup changed work, at least for one night. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Plus, T.J. Watt may be available should the Giants or Jets try to make a trade. So we'll get to some football later as well. But last night's Yankee game, there is one thing that jumps out at me more than anything else. And I think this is a major, major, major concern moving forward. And it's something I actually screamed about on the radio a lot, which is Aaron Judge is so good. He's so awesome. He's so dynamic that I wouldn't face him. I remember the last time the Subway Series started, I said it to Mendy. I said, do not face Aaron Judge. And he obviously disagreed with me, and they went after Aaron Judge and mostly had success. But what we saw for the first three games of this Toronto series is John Schneider saying, I won't let Aaron Judge beat me until he allowed him to beat him. It was odd to me because throughout this series, the first three games, Aaron Judge has now been intentionally walked four times. And in three of the four times, he was intentionally walked, Teak, in situations where you would never normally intentionally walk a human.
Right.
Runner on first, intentional walk, nobody on, intentional walk. And yet, last night, which allowed Judge, King Judge, to have the, I think I've already screwed up today.
Yes.
I think I'll allow that one.
Thank you. In the one moment where King Judge had a chance to kill them, he didn't intentionally walk them. But I think John Schneider's going to learn his lesson. And here's the really concerning part, Teague. I think every other manager is going to learn the lesson.
Yeah.
I think they're going to follow this script of not facing Aaron Judge.
Well, especially if the game gets tight. I mean, the Blue Jays ran out to a stupid lead on the Yankees, and it was 7-0 before you even could blink your eye.
Right.
And then next thing you know, it's like, all right, here come the Yankees. They creep their way back in, get a little bit going in the fifth inning, and then the sixth inning comes around, everything is fine. Then you get Judge up in the eighth inning, and it's a one or two run game at this point. They got a little bit of insurance, and you get one out, Ben Rice walks. And Aaron Judge is sitting right there.
I was stunned he faced him. Just based on how Schneider's handled Judge this series, I was stunned.
Right, because, I mean, think about what happened afterwards.
Right.
Bellinger struck out. Stanton walked again, but whatever. And then Jazz Chisholm, you know, he got a single, and Goldschmidt ultimately grounded out. But face those guys, right? And I know it's maybe there's potentially a run, but Aaron Judge with one swing can tie the game.
And he did.
And it's exactly what he did.
In a weird way, I'm going to tell you something that's going to sound weird off the surface, but when you think about it, it makes sense. Aaron Judge's two-run home run last night in the eighth inning, which was an epic moment.
By the way.
Yeah, you owe another dollar
to
the little King chart we have here. We need to refer to him as King.
Sorry, getting excited about Aaron Judge at the King right now.
King Aaron Judge's game-tying two-run home run last night in the eighth inning was the worst thing that ever happened to the Yankees.
Hmm.
because it is a reminder to every single manager, not just John Schneider, who knows it, you can't face him.
Right.
And even in situations that feel weird, like if they had walked King Judge last night in the eighth inning, I know what the retort would be. You're going to put the tying run on base? Yeah. Yeah. I am.
Right.
I'm going to bring the winning run or the go-ahead run to the plate? Yeah, I am.
Right.
And Schneider has already shown it in the series that King Judge is so good that that kind of gamble, which makes no sense with most other players.
So worth it.
So here's the reason I bring it up. This isn't Toronto Sports Talk Radio. This isn't what the Mets should do this weekend. It's a problem for the Yankees because we talk so much about third base. We talk so much about the bullpen, all these issues, defense, guys playing out of position. The ultimate issue I think this team has, and it's been an issue for years, but I think it can be exploited right now, is they need to protect this guy. Because if every manager follows John Schneider and Ron Washington, who I'm not even making this up, have supplied 45% of the intentional walks Aaron Judge has faced this year. Those two managers are me, basically.
Right.
They've realized we're not facing him. If everyone else starts to realize that, and now Judge, King Judge, is being walked constantly, you guys have confidence Cody Bellinger's going to make him pay?
No, I don't. Now, if you get an inning like the fifth inning where everybody is starting to tee off on Jose Barrios. Then maybe you can trust those guys. But for the most part, if Aaron Judge is the guy that is there to tie the game or take the lead, don't pitch to him. It is as simple as that. You mentioned the guys that don't, Ron Washington being one, who's now on a leave of absence, medical leave of absence,
yeah.
I believe it is.
Yes.
But, I mean, he and Judge even tipped his cap. We remember that series. He tipped his cap to him, understanding the gamemanship that was going on there. But the reality is this will make, when teams start doing this more often, because you're right, Evan, it is going to happen, it's going to make Aaron Boone have to now make lineup decisions that protect Judge in different ways that he hasn't done before. Now, the other thing that I take away from this game is that Jason Dominguez should have been playing a long time ago.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
But that's another story. We'll get to it eventually. But my point with Aaron Boone is that he's got to find a way to make teams pay for what they're ultimately about to do to Aaron Judge.
The easiest thing to do is to go out and get someone to protect him.
But now, who is that?
Well, I mentioned a name yesterday, and tell me if you think this would serve as fair protection. And that's Corey Seager, if they were willing to absorb that contract from Texas.
But I don't think that's going to happen. It's too big of a number.
Well, but
over
that,
the next, what, 6 years, you said? I forget the years
that are left. That's the problem. Like, yes, the Yankees can easily make a move that improves their lineup. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't take much to upgrade over DJ LeMahieu. But what I'm talking about is bigger. What I'm talking about is there someone you could acquire that will cause managers to think twice about not facing King Aaron Judge? And the answer is there aren't many guys like that. And the guys that are like that probably make a lot of money.
I mean, right. No, you're right.
They're not cheap. So, yeah.
But here's the thing. I don't even know if it is a Corey Seager type or a Nolan Arenado or Suarez. I just think you need somebody who is going to consistently get hits. So it doesn't need to be this massive threat, this star in the making or star that's previously been made. You don't need that. You just need someone who's going to get Judge to advance, right? And put him in a scoring position and potentially drive in the runs that are on before him. So it's not the star. It's just someone who you can count on to get the hit. Now, interestingly, I've done a bunch of statistical analysis, Evan, because of you asked me to do this back when Jazz Chisholm was hitting behind.
Well, the reason I asked you real quick was because since the beginning of this season, one of my issues with this lineup was this, which is who the hell's protecting this godly baseball player?
Right.
Like, why would managers ever face him? And for the most part, managers have faced him. John Schneider, Ron Washington have been the exception. And I do think that this series is a watershed moment. I think this is going to be the series where managers are going to say, what are we doing?
Now, here's the reality. Now, it seems like it's been weak behind Aaron Judge when he has walked. I haven't done you've done the entire analysis on what the guys behind Aaron Judge are hitting throughout the season, but I'm just looking at specifically when Aaron Judge walks.
Right.
As of late, there have been some intentional walks, but most of them are just walks. He's got a good eye. And interestingly, before this last week, I haven't recalculated, they were hitting like 380 behind him. So even though it feels like when he walks, nobody was doing anything behind him, they actually are hitting pretty well behind him. And there's a few home runs to boot there. So I feel like there's decent protection, but not threat protection behind Aaron
Judge. Yeah, I think it's marginal protection. Because right now, when you look at this Yankee lineup, they have a bunch of decent to good hitters, but they don't have anybody that you fear. In fact, the only guy in this lineup that I would say, and this is why if you ask me, all right, what are you going to do? If the Yankees aren't able to acquire a big bat to protect Aaron Judge, who ultimately should protect Aaron Judge, ultimately, the answer is Giancarlo Stanton.
I agreed.
Now, that's mostly October Giancarlo Stanton.
Right. Well, he finally hit a home run.
He did.
He was a donut.
And that was a big one because it got him right back in the game.
Right.
But ultimately, I'm thinking as an opponent. I'm thinking as an opposing manager, as an opposing fan. That's the guy in this lineup more so than Goldie, who's older. He had a good day yesterday, but he's cooled off over the last month.
Yep.
More so than Cody, more so than Jazz, more so than anybody. The guy that would put some fear in my mind is Giancarlo Stanton. Now, that is also putting the righties together, which isn't an ideal because Boone, of course, wants to split the righties and the lefties up. But that's the one guy who I think twice about walking King Judge in front of.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, teams aren't going to face him.
No.
He is an outworldly player right now. And it's interesting. You look at these three games. What's really jumped out at me is it's not just that they aren't facing him. It's that John Schneider took the book and threw it away. And he said, I'm going to break every rule known to man. And just to give you a historical perspective on this, King Judge has been intentionally walked 22 times this season.
Yep.
Now, let's not compare it to Barry Bonds. That's crazy, and that'll never be matched. How about we just compare it to Yankee history? Yankees have had some great sluggers. Babe Ruth was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey Mantle was pretty good. Joe DiMaggio was pretty good. They had some good players. He's only six away from breaking the all-time single-season intentional walk record. King Judge!
Yeah.
He's going to break it by August.
Right.
If they keep playing the Blue Jays, he'd break it by next week. And that record is held, if you care, by Babe Ruth.
Right.
And it was prior to Lou Gehrig getting there. Obviously, once Lou's there, intentionally walking Babe Ruth became maybe not the greatest idea.
Right, but you need someone who's going to consistently get hits and get on base and every now and then run into a home run. But I don't think it's a superstar to me. It's just someone who's consistent behind him. Now, maybe that is Giancarlo Stanton. And by the way, I like Stanton behind him because Stanton, if you have to put the ball over the plate, eventually he's gonna kill you when you have to continually put balls over the plate because you can't afford to walk him again. So to me, the current situation is Stanton, but there definitely needs to be a move made with this Yankees.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. no annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.